mainly thought-based. You don't know them through your senses. You fail to receive any number of cues and signals. Text can be starkly emotionless, can appear unsympathetic, hence the desire to create simple textual signifiers of emotion.
This is an audio boo from the Click Studio. We've just been on air and just done a bit of extra recording for the podcast. But Bill Thompson and Nick Harkaway are still talking about being human in a digital world.
You don't get these things online except as they are conveyed through text. Everyone on the online, no one knows you're a dog, except that, in fact, there are some ways to tell things about people through text. Blah, 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 blah. It's like you read Proust and the Squid and then you failed to immerse yourself properly in what Marianne Wolfe
said. Inevitably,
I don't
agree. I mean, I think the whole point of that section, and one of the sections which comes later, is the point that the texting is different but co-equal and important.
Well, you don't. It doesn't come across like that.
It doesn't come across to you. Interestingly, it does come across to other people.
Well, they're just wrong.
reading
is... And as you know, the author cannot constrain the reading of his text or her text, so frankly...
So why are you blaming me?
Because you get the royalties.
Not yet. Not until the 10th.
And you do actually reference Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Is that another
thing?
No, but actually, because I was
just because you spent the weekend on a motorbike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think deeply about these things. But you talk about the quality trap, and one thing that really kind of struck me about that novel, when, you know, the protagonist is always, you know, criticising his friends who send their motorcycles off to be serviced, and they don't have a real sense of the quality of the bike, the quality of the experience, which then goes on to be a much longer discourse about, you know, the quality of what it means to be alive. But you actually do talk about this sense of the quality trap, and when a screw thread is ruined, and you screw it up, then quality, you know, good things kind of pour down into that, into a trap. You know, quality is lost, as it were. And I think a lot of digital is in danger of doing that, because it kind of, you know, sort of, if we're not careful, it
certainly is a way
us.
People find to screw up. They can if you're not paying attention, you can definitely do it.
Yes.
That's universal. That's not purely digital. Yeah.
And it's something that, like, you know, Bill mentions, you know, case modding in a sense. And I know I'm banging on a bit about Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, but, you know, it was almost like a kind of manifesto for hacking that book. And so, you know, people who, you know, personalise their electronics by, you know, kind of modding the case or, you know, overclocking the chip or whatever it is they want to do, are people saying it's what is happening under the bonnet, metaphorically and literally, you know, really matters to me, and that's why I'm going to kind of hack it, in a sense.
No, I think, I mean, listening to Bill, I think that his principal objections are the things where I haven't gone far enough in the direction that we're both going, because he's slightly ahead of me in some ways. Or, you know, I mean, I just genuinely, the case modding thing, I mean, I thought that, you know, the point about that part of the book was coming down in favour of case modding.
I suppose, and again, this is why, I mean, as I said, sort of on air, I think you're writing it for people who are further behind the curve. And so for me, not to mention case modding in that context...
I didn't mention case modding, but I mentioned Idoru and Sam.
Because nobody does this now. And no. Of course, some people do it. So in a sense, there was another step you could have taken in that context that would have nuanced your point.
Yeah, and there was, there's a lot of places, I mean, because the book is broad rather than deep, there's a lot of places where I'd really like to have done more nuance, but then it would be twice as long and I wouldn't have written it in time to publish it, you know, and actually when you're writing about technology like this, it's already out of date. It was out of date when I finished the draft.
Yeah.
We've got the website. Come on and crucify me on the website, because I'd love to have that.
Yeah.
You know, we can pursue this because, you know, the Blind Giant website is there so that people can come and have those conversations.
And I am audio-booing this, just because this is too good to waste. But just before we leave it, and this is, it's given me 20 more seconds for you to tell us, why is it called The Blind Giant? Me and Bill have been trying to work out where the title comes
because
from.
Because part of the idea is that the opportunity afforded to us by social media in particular, by the internet in general and SMS and so on, is to become aware in real time of what's happening to the body politic in the world. And you no longer have to stagger around like a blind giant smashing things. You can take control and actually understand what's happening.
Okay. Oh, just in time for the end of this audio boo. Well, thanks a lot for that, Nick. Fascinating stuff.
Okay,
cheers.
I gotta go.